This episode of Football 301, Matt Harmon and Charles McDonald join me for a trade we want to see before training camp starts, and two to three players or coaches that have a make or break season. We get to a few names here. You know, Dolphins, what exactly are you guys? Bryce Young, Kyler Murray. What do we have in 2025? Make or break, big seasons. We talk about them. Super fun show. See you guys in a sec. Hello and welcome to Football 301. I'm your host, Nate Tice. Very fun show, as always, today on Football 301. We're going to be looking at some make or break seasons for 2025. Coaches, players that we think have a lot on the line. You know, not just reputation-wise, but just career-wise as well. We'll look at a few of those. Charles McDonald and Matt Harmon will be those guys joining me for that. As always on Football 301, we're doing this three-man weave. We're also going to be looking at one trade we want to see before training camp starts. I think that's reasonable. But to help me look at that trade, to help me look at the make and break seasons, Matt Harmon to start. How you doing today, Matt?
I'm doing good. Yeah. One thing I love doing, which is, you know, like a nebulous sort of topic here. What is a make or break? Who really knows? And one thing I hate doing, which is coming up with trades, because I'm really bad at it. So I'm sure mine is going to be stupid and unrealistic, but who cares?
It's fine. A trade. That's how we did it. Just a trade. Yeah. That just make it a little easier on us. But no, I like the broad topics we do. Because as we saw last week, you know, when we do these items, you know, things that are going to be a things, we kind of all take it in different directions. And the guy that always takes it in different directions, maybe four different ways, Mr. Vert, how you doing today, coach?
What's going on, Chuck? I'm doing all right. I'm at the point in the offseason where I'm just kind of laughing at some of the stuff that gets posted. We are firmly in the part of the season where a bunch of people who need to unplug with football should probably be doing that. But not yet. Just get to the end of the show and then go take the weekend off.
Yeah, there you go. I know. OTA seasons, we're getting the highlights from rookies, not in pads, threes. We're in a sweet spot of this football schedule where social media feels more alive, but it's for the stupidest reasons for football. But also, a little housekeeping, too, before we jump into the show. I am going to be on paternity leave. Paternity leave. I can't even say it. Get out of my mouth. We're going to be having our second child, a girl. Most named Emily. Might as well just drop the name right now. Have a son, Jack, 2.5 years old. The due date should be in the next week. I mean, we're hoping. My wife, that's 8.999%, 99% pregnant, really is hoping. But yes, I'll be on paternity leave for the next 8 weeks or so until training camp rolls around. Until that time, Charles and Matt, who you're hearing on this show and every show of Football 301, are going to be holding down the fort for the next couple months. We also have some list episodes. Top 10 quarterbacks, top 10 defenders, which got a little dicey there. Top 10 receivers, top 10 football pop culture things with Mina Kimes. We have all of that coming up. Also, one of my favorite shows I've ever done is the All Average Team. We looked at an All Average Team, which I'm very, very excited for that one to drop. That'll be coming out in the next few weeks. Any news items happen, Charles and Matt will be taking care of it. I think I'm very excited to be spending this time with my family. So thank you all for understanding. But Matt and Charles will be taking good care of you. And you'll be hearing me on some of those lists. But just want to get that out there. So after this show, I'll probably see you guys live once training camp rolls around. It'll be great. But
I'm about to say real quick, anyone who has listened to me and Matt do podcasts over the years knows he will be getting bullied a fair amount on those shows. So buckle in. Buckle in, buddy. Hey,
right back at you, pal. I can't wait for this. I can't promise that the content in the first 15 minutes of those shows or however long that those go for will be Football 301. We might dumb this thing down with Nate out here, but congratulations to the entire family.
Thank
you guys. Wishing you guys the best.
Really appreciate it. No, we're very excited. I think it's just now we're at that point where it's like, all right, let's go. We've been doing a lot of prepping, and now it's like, all right, let's just get into it. No, but thank you guys for holding the fort down, Stone Mass, and everybody as well. But let's get into us. We're going to start with the one trade we want to see this offseason. By the time I end my paternity leave, we want to see this trade happen. I only did one each because, as Matt alluded to, I feel like anytime I want to talk about trades, I realize it's one and then maybe two I can come up with. And then it's like, there's no clean NBA trade machine that makes this as easy in the NFL. But one trade each we want to see. That was really the only parameters gave you So I want to hear where you guys go with this one. Matt, start us off. What's the one trade you want to see by the time training camp rolls around?
I want to see Trey Hendrickson get traded because I don't think he is going to get paid by the Cincinnati Bengals. It just seems like there's a little bit of, and look, by the time that Nate's back from paternity leave, maybe he's on a big fat contract extension and all this is nothing. But right now, last time Hendrickson talked publicly, it sounded like they'd reached kind of like a point of no return, unless they're just going to slide the big fat check across the table, which always will mend offenses. But I don't know. I'm skeptical that that happens. So I'd like to see him get traded. And of course, he's got to go to a contender. This probably wouldn't happen because it's within the same conference. But I'd like to see him get traded to the Los Angeles Chargers because the Chargers really didn't do a lot of like veteran needle moving type acquisitions in the offseason. They're sitting on just over $26 million in cap space right now. So they've got enough to fit the first year of a big pass rusher contract extension on their current books. And again, the Chargers had a lot of needs coming into the offseason, and one of them was to get more explosive on offense, which I think they certainly accomplished in the draft with Amarian Hampton in the first round. And then they went ahead and they took Trey Harris in the second round, which is a pick I like. I think he'll compete for some playing time in that wide receiver room. They do have some questions along the interior offensive line. That's still outstanding. But the other big need that I don't think they really satisfied this year was getting more juice in terms of their pass rush. They brought back Khalil Mack. That's nice. He had a pretty good season for them last year, but they did wave goodbye to Joey Bosa, and I don't think they have someone just waiting in the wings there that can fill that. So I do think that's the trade I'd like to see, whether it's going to happen or not. I don't have like all the little compensation notes for you, but I'd love to see that one get done.
No, I like that. I think Hendrickson, just something happening with Hendrickson is what I want to see. I don't even know, a team resigning, something. Just this is just feels like it's just going on way too long. Yeah, the Chargers are an interesting one because, like you said, they have room. No longer having Bosa. The Bills was a team that actually came to mind for me who signed Joey Bosa, who's now injured slash, and then they have suspensions, all that good stuff with all the additions the Bills added. The Chargers is a good one though. They have God, this is going to be a long show for me if this is how I'm starting out. But I do think he has some juice. But Hendrickson and Khalil Mack is like perfect as far as like synergizing two edge players. It's same discussion as the 49ers with Bosa and why I like the Mykal Williams thing. Really more Khalil Mack is just, just a badass on run downs, really good against the run, still a good sack guy, get after the passer, but then you get a guy that's a true more finesse guy, and Hendrickson that get after passer. That's the perfect little pairing. So I really like this one. I'm not, really wasn't even came to mind maybe for Hendrickson. I've been kind of just even kicking around some of the teams that have cap space, but Charles, any thoughts on this one?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. It's funny because the Chargers, like, you're in a spot where you probably need a lot of help if you're actually going to go out there and compete for the AFC title, but your quarterback is so good that it's going to be difficult to add the help that you need. So I think getting someone that that already has NFL pedigree, like Trey Hendrickson, he's only 30, so you can still get a couple more years out of him maybe before he hits the wall. I think it's going to be important because, you know, you decide to bring Khalil Mack back, which was a good move, but obviously, you know, he didn't have like the season that he had the year before, I don't know if he led the league in sacks, but he did have like that 6-sack game and better pass. He had a lot. He did have a lot that year. But you know, he's kind of at the point where this is going to be season 12 for him. Probably helps to just add someone, just to make sure that in case he hits the wall, you still have a good pass rush. Because if Khalil Mack, you know, if he plays like someone who's been in the NFL and has been slamming his body against the wall for 12 years, as would be his right as an American, if he plays like that this season, they're probably in a pretty bad spot pass rush-wise on defense. So I think this makes a lot of good sense to add him to their roster.
Yeah, I like some of the stuff they have in the defense, you know, and they're really well-designed and everything, but they need aces. They need guys that, okay, none of the design matters, none of the cool stuff, the creeper pressures and all that stuff that we're bringing, simulated, doesn't matter, just a guy on third down that can line up and win. So like you said, there's definitely a need for some pass rush juice. I like this one, Matt. I think this is actually an easy fit too with some of the cap space they have as well. But, and honestly, it's not going to take a first rounder because otherwise that would have happened, you know, so like, and it's a vet, you know, I can see Harbaugh being great with having a vet there, all that stuff. So yeah, there's a lot of arguments to be made with this angle. All right, Charles, what about you? What was a trade you'd like to see before camp starts?
You know, I went here. Oh, Kirk God, Cousins to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Kirk Cousins to the Steelers, baby. Get him out of here.
No.
Okay,
I knew it would be something like this.
I still do think Aaron Rodgers ends up as a quarterback of the Steelers, but it's June 4th that he hasn't signed yet, you know?
No.
Every day that he doesn't sign makes it more likely that he won't be the quarterback come training camp, which I think would be a disaster for Pittsburgh because how long are you going to do this Mason Rudolph thing? Like, they obviously really like him over there in the building, but come on now. Like, we've seen him play enough to know that that's not going to be the fix. On a team that has playoff aspirations, that's not going to be the fix. Now, Kirk Cousins might not be the fix either, but I do feel like he's a better chance than what's going on with Mason Rudolph. And if I hear Raheem Morris say he wants Kirk Cousins to be the backup one more time, I'm going to vomit all over myself. So I think even if it's like a seventh round future pick, just get it out of here. You obviously don't want this situation sitting around. After the Super Bowl media week, when Kirk just came out and blindsided the Falcons with the, you know, actually I was hurt all year talk, which kind of got
they
got
truly
a
didn't
people,
know. They truly were
they
like,
truly didn't know. Yeah. Yeah. They got a little tense in the organization there for a couple weeks after Kirk said that, because they were like, why did you say that? Because when he got hurt during the season, he actually asked them to take him off the list because he didn't want anyone popping up. He didn't want his name popping up on the injury list. So then you come out after, during Super Bowl week, and say, I was hurt. They were like, why did you do all this? So obviously can't have him coming back. And the Steelers, this Aaron Rodgers thing is getting weird. There hasn't really been all that much from him over the past month or two. So it's June 4th. You got to get a quarterback. And there's really only one left out there where you can squint and say, maybe we can get to like 9-8.
And you know what? Former Falcons head coach loves fudging injury reports, especially with Bijan Robinson, Arthur Smith. This is the path that should have happened anyways. If Arthur Smith got another year, they were signing Kirk Cousins. I mean, I think that no matter who the head coach was, Kirk Cousins was looking at houses in Atlanta in December before he signed. Yeah. I think no matter what, that was going to happen. So, but just complete the path. Just complete the circle that should have happened. The narrative that should have happened. I mean, this is kind of curious because they're supposed to be on the Packers plan. You know, that's what always confuses me. The Packers plan had Aaron Rodgers sitting behind Jordan Love for a little bit. Is that what was supposed to happen there? Yeah, I know. Matt, what would you think about Kirk Cousins with the Steelers? Would you like that fit, or do you think this is even going to happen?
Well, number one, I just want to give Charles credit for just being purely selfish with this assignment.
It was perfect. Yeah.
I actually thought about my original one was, all right, how can I get like a receiver off the Packers roster or a receiver off the Colts roster, get one of these like crowded rooms? And I was like, you know what? I'm not going to play the hits. But I'm glad that Charles is like, you know what? I'm going to play the damn hits, baby. So shout out to you for that one. But I'm with you, Charles, that I think the more the time goes by, like the dumber it sounds when we're just like, yeah, Rodgers will just be on the Steelers. Like it sounded dumb probably 2 months ago. Here in June, it sounds like you're making a bad joke, because it's just like we're talking about this guy as if like, oh yeah, when he signs with the team, and he hasn't signed with the team. Like when is the deadline? Like the last thing that we heard about it was, oh, he hasn't given them any. I think this was Pelissero from NFL Network said this, like, yeah, he's given them no indication as of like a couple weeks ago that he is coming. So yeah, I think it's way past time that they come up with an alternative here. And I don't know how good of an alternative Kirk Cousins is, but it is an alternative. So if I was making decisions in Pittsburgh, I would have moved on from this like Rodgers fever dream a long time ago, because I'm not even sure that the ceiling, like how big of a gap is the ceiling and floor between Rodgers and Cousins. I'm really not even sure at this point. So yeah, I whether it's going to happen or not, I would probably explore it, because I'd be over the Rodgers thing if I was them.
Especially for what the Steelers need and want to do. Like, we can all envision what Arthur Smith wants to do with this personnel. So it's like kind of the quarterback becomes secondary to what they want to do anyway. So who's the best secondary quarterback? Not because he's a backup right now. Kirk Cousins. He's the best kind of like auxiliary guy to just operate this system.
I'm so sick of looking at this Rodgers QB. This was actually I laughed when I saw this on when Colin put it up on the fantasy show like 2.5 months ago. It's making me mad looking at if you watch this on YouTube, you can see the Aaron Rodgers parentheses quarterback potentially. Again, I laughed. That was very funny 2.5 months ago. But that's what I'm saying. Like enough already. Yeah, and that's a great point, Nate. That if you're just doing this, you know, Arthur Smith, you know, one X receiver, and then the, you know, kind of rotating cast of ancillary players around him, I think they're doing this Jonnu Smith thing as like a distraction. This is the most reported
splash in the water
trade. Yeah, this is the most reported. Like Schefter tweeted out yesterday. I'm sorry, I'm ranting about this, but Schefter tweeted yesterday. Like, ooh, big shift. Like the Jonnu trade is back on. Nobody gives about the Jonnu trade. Like, enough. What are we talking about? It's a distraction trades talk about Rodgers. Yeah, no one cares. Like, no one cares.
It's June, baby.
Speaking of June, so Steelers mandatory minicamp is June. This is probably every team, actually. June 10th, June 11th, June 12th. If he doesn't freaking sign on June 13th, when all that stuff's over, then I'm like, okay, start calling Kirk Cousins. Like, because now you don't have to worry about mandatory OTAs or anything like that. So I feel like June 13th, that's the date I'm looking at for Rodgers news. If that doesn't happen, which actually I think is our due date for our daughter. So yeah, big day for me professionally and personally, June 13th.
I'm so glad I'm on vacation next week.
Right. I know, right. Probably right. All right, now moving on to my trade. This is a guy that's been kind of floated out there. I feel like it's going to happen. We thought maybe it would happen on June 1st because of just the contract stuff, but that's Jalen Ramsey and all his cryptic tweets. I have Jalen Ramsey to the Cowboys. Talk about completing the narrative. This should have been their draft pick in 2016. Anyways, Ezekiel Elliott had a great, you know, little career with the Cowboys, but still always felt like it should have been Jalen Ramsey. Much like Mac Jones could go into the 49ers this offseason. Let's just complete the circle that should have been completed years and years ago. But the Cowboys have $32 million in cap space. So they can afford the $20 million cap hit that Jalen Ramsey will have, which probably limits his suitors because that is expensive. And now that's what his contract is. But I think Ramsey's going to age well. So that's why I don't think, trading for a 30-year-old DB is always like, I think he ages well because I think he can play corner, he can play the slot, and I think he'll transition to safety as his career goes along. I think he's on that Charles Woodson arc, career arc. But the guys they have right now, Deron Bland, who I think is best in the slot, can play outside, but now they have two options there. Dennis Allen does a lot with the slot guys. If you watch especially what he did last year with Kyler Gordon. Dennis Allen. Oh my God. Matt Eberflus does a lot with the slot guys. Dennis Allen replaced Matt Eberflus. But with the slot guys, just watch what he did with Kyler Gordon and just kind of weaponizing that spot like a lot of teams are doing. So whether it's Bland or Ramsey there, it's insurance for Trayvon Diggs coming back. I think I looked at their picks as well. That's how deep I went into it. They have two 5th rounders in 2026 because of a comp pick, because of Jordan Lewis signing to the Jags. They also have a 7th, which is probably what you would offer. Hey, Ramsey for a 7th? No. Ramsey for a 5th? Okay. You know, I think that's kind of how the negotiation goes. So there's actually a path for this happening. It's not just me kind of going like, oh, I wish this would happen. And I also think it just makes sense. And I'm just continuing my bullishness on the Cowboys right now. And this would just add to it. And I think he'd just be a good fit for what they have right now. So Jalen Ramsey to the Cowboys. He has a few teams that are interesting. Reuniting with the Rams is one. There's a few other ones out there. But yeah, Ramsey, Cowboys, complete it. Should have happened 10 years ago, which just might as well happen now. Matt, any thoughts on 10 that?
10 years ago, Jesus.
Nine, whatever. Yeah. 2016 draft, man.
Yeah.
Long, long time ago. But maybe it's just me fan fictioning it. But actually, as I started picking at it, I was like, oh, actually, this is not a no. You know, and they just trade for Pickens, you know, and he's a former first rounder. We know the Cowboys like to acquire all these former first rounders, as Barnwell calls it, the second draft. You know, this will make the fourth draft for Ramsey, apparently.
No, yeah, I like it. It's the one suggestion I've heard from him that's not like a team or a coach that he's played for previously, because, you know, I know there's like some Panthers fans that want them to get in the mix because Evero has ties to the Rams, Morris and the Falcons. That's been rumored. But yeah, this one makes sense, of course. And you know, Trayvon Diggs, he's not like rehabbing with the team, and he's, I guess he's in danger of forfeiting $500,000 because of that, because he's, and which, buddy, you might need that $500,000 because they might be trying to get out of that contract here pretty soon.
How many hours do you need me to check in? Yeah. It counts six hours? Okay, we'll go to 6 hours and 1 minute.
Sounds great. I'll be there. So that's obviously a position in flux for them. It's really the only area that's concerning about their defense is that secondary, because as long as Micah Parsons is there, they're going to be an above average defense at the worst. So this could be something that helps them there. And also on the safety point too, like he's not the guy that I went with for DB, but when we did our all average team, I actually thought like Malik Hooker might be like a perfect all average team safety that like, yeah, he's not the player that people want him to be when he was drafted in the first round many, many years ago, but like he's turned into a nice starter for them, but he could be somebody that you want to upgrade on. So if Ramsey makes that transition, he could potentially look at that spot as well.
You know, and I know Overshown got hurt. He was really coming along last season. They did sign Jack Sanborn, a former Badger. Eberflus probably favorite. And I actually kind of like that signing because I was, you know, the Kenneth Murray's whatever. But I just started kind of going through the roster because I know we're getting more optimistic about the offense. But I was like, even the defense, you know, they still it depends whether these one of these late round guys can really or Solomon Thomas can shore up the middle, because that's what they still need, you know, because Mazi Smith hasn't been that. But like if you look at all three levels, it's like, all right, like I can squint and see this still being a good unit, you know, or not like I'm not saying top 10, but more of a top half average to above average unit with Micah Parsons, with the ultimate ace and a decent pass rush with him. Fowler, you know, Ezeraku, Oso Odigizua, like, you know, they got some heat that they can throw out some quarterbacks. So not the worst front out there. All right. We are going to take our first break, and then we're going to come back with a couple of make or break seasons for players and coaches in 2025. All right, we are back, and we're going to get into some make or break seasons. We are here in June talking about make or break seasons. I think some of them are already getting set up this way, and we can kind of see the indicators of how things are going. I think reputation lasts throughout the year. It doesn't, not just June. It doesn't turn off in June or anything like that. But Matt, start us off. Make or break season, who do you got?
I went with Jonathan Gannon / Kyler Murray here, because I do kind of think we're going to, if the Cardinals underperform expectations here, I think that someone's going to have to take the fall. And by the way, like, I like what the Cardinals have done, but I do think just because of the division that they play in, there's a real chance that they could, you know, miss the playoffs and all. Like, even if they make progress in the third year of this regime, I think there could be like, well, hey, the 49ers improved a little bit because they stayed healthier. The Rams were a Super Bowl caliber team. And, you know, the Seahawks also look like they're, if the offense can come together, like those two, Cardinals and Seahawks, might be kind of nipping at each other for that third spot and hopefully a wild card berth out of that third spot. But again, I think this is going to be a tough division at the very least. So they could underperform expectations or like not make the playoffs. And then you've gone 3 years, you've not made the playoffs. There's going to be some heat turned up in the building there. And I think somebody's going to have to take the fall. I don't know that it would be Gannon, because I do think this has been a well-coached team. I think sometimes some of the stuff they do, it's just like catnip for, you know, football dorks like us, what they do schematically. And, you know, I'm not pointing fingers at one particular dork on the show here, but certainly someone
I think I still have a hook in my lip. I think I still got a hook right here in my lower lip that I got caught last year.
Maybe. But again, I do think there are some, there's some ways that this can go right. There's some ways that this can go wrong. And I actually think the Kyler part of this, like, we could just get to a point at the end of this year where it's like, all right, we've gone as far as we can go. This offense in particular has gone as far as it can go with Kyler Murray as the quarterback, because I like a lot of what they do conceptually. I kind of compared it in a different conversation this last week to that the Cardinals offense last year was like a really good, it's like a really good burger. Like there's not a lot of frills. It's a pretty solid thing. I'm not complaining about like their route concepts or anything they do in the passing game. I just think they need a little bit more like sauce. They need a little, and Trey McBride actually literally said this past week, like, hey, yeah, we're adding in more motion. We're adding in more sauce to this offense. So I thought that was like a good way to sort of translate of what they need. So to me, I don't actually have a lot of issues with what the coaching staff has done. I just wonder if we're going to get to a point at the end of this year where what they want is not what Kyler Murray is best at doing in terms of attacking over the middle of the field, taking these shots off play action, because he's much more of like a spread and shred guy and throw outside the numbers. That doesn't really overlap all that well with Marvin Harrison. They didn't add any other wide receivers here to the mix to allow him to move to different positions. So that's where, to me, like, it's probably more make or break for the quarterback. And then you're entering year four of this regime, and hey, we've got to make a really big decision at the most important spot on the roster.
Yeah, the Kyler is a great call for this. Like, last year, even Kyler probably has best underlying statistical season. QBR, success rate, EPA stuff is high up there as well. Just like, he just felt more efficient. And there's still games I watch where I'm like, Kyler has never played quarterback better, but I'm still wanting more. There were still times where I thought he was still inconsistent on a week-to-week basis. He'd have some games, the Dolphins games, one that comes to mind, where you have some games where 49ers game, one of the 49ers games where it's like, oh yeah, there it is. Like, Kyler's on fire. He had a couple games early in the season where it was just like, he's doing the Steph Curry, throw the ball, start running away before the ball's even completed. You can see him playing with confidence, but then it would be, and there's no video game jokes here. This is more of like, I did good this week, and then the next week it tapered off. And then the next week he plays good, and the next week it tapers off again. It was so swingy that it's like, this season, it has to be consistent. We have to have 3 good weeks, and then you can have that one off week. And this is year 3 in the system, year two and a half, I should say, in the system, because he was hurt the first year. And really just, I really liked a lot of the growth he showed. At the same time, I'm with you, Matt, where there were some frustrations from me, where I'm like, well, Kyler, yeah, like, there's better options there. Or Kyler, you could have gone with this there. Again, there's growth. It's still just not complete. So I'm with you. It's make or break. It's not a totally tradable contract next year. Like, he can, there's no trade clause and everything, but there is no trade. There is no trade clause. And also just you can split it with after the post June 1st and everything. So it is fungible to trade off of this. It'd be even easier after the year after that, year four or his 30-year-old season. But Charles, where are you at with Kyler? I don't feel like you and I have ever like really talked about Kyler, but like, where are you at with him?
He's at the point where I would probably just keep kicking the can down the road and just stick with him until I had a fully better option. Because I agree with the assessment. It's like, man, you would like to see maybe a little bit more at this point, but if we get rid of him, like, that could be the end of everything. Right. It could just be all over. Yeah. Like, we're all getting fired because it's hard to find an upgrade at that point. So, I think it's okay to just kind of come to the realization, like, this is who he is. I mean, this is going to be year 6, I think, of him as a starting quarterback in the NFL.
Year 7 coming up.
Year 7. Yep. So, I mean, if this is what he is, I think it's okay because it's still good enough, I think, to win a Super Bowl if all the pieces are right around him. But obviously, he's a flawed player. So it's just kind of the conundrum where you're like, well, our quarterback he's not a top 5 guy, but he's like a fringe top 10 guy. So it just means everyone else is going to have to do a little bit more work, because if I get rid of Kyler, then I'm praying for like a 49ers level miracle where someone we draft on like day 3 ends up being the starting quarterback, which, as we know, is not really likely considering it's like Tom Brady and Brock Purdy when you're looking at like that level of the draft becoming longtime quarterbacks.
Right. It's hard to – he is right at that tier. We did the all-average team. Like, Kyler's the step above that. But that's so hard to find a guy, you know? Like, it's – you know, we were talking about Kirk Cousins or Aaron Rodgers. That's kind of like, yeah, pick your one Achilles poison. You know, like, but where this one, it's like Kyler actually wins you some games. He'll lose you a game, but he wins games. Like, he can create, he can throw the deep ball. And maybe I just want to see more Kyler Murray to Trey McBride. So maybe I'm just selfish with that because they have great chemistry. But yeah, it's an interesting discussion because it's like, I'm happy with a lot of the stuff Kyler's doing. He's taking sacks at a lower rate than he ever has. His pressure sack is lower than it ever has. That's signs that's good quarterback play. The efficiency when he's throwing is better. Like, he had just throws. So if you're taking out scrambles, he had a 51.3% success rate last year on just throws. Highest of his career. He's never broken. He's had 50 a couple times, but never that well. There's just a lot of good signs here. It's not scrambling as much, you know, which showing that he's being a quarterback. But again, there's just a little bit wanting more. So I'm interested in the Cardinals this year. So I thought this was a really good one, Matt. Charles, let's get to you. What was your first make or break season?
I went with Panthers quarterback Bryce Young.
That's a good one too.
Because the discourse by the end of the season last year was in a really interesting place where, to me, it felt like when he started off, he was so like just unbelievably bad that any sort of progress, which we did see progress last year, we saw obviously he's not the same player that he was week one or that he was as a rookie. It just felt like people wanted to vault him into a sphere that he's not in yet, just because it didn't look as bad as it was. This is going to sound mean, and I don't intend it to be mean. I just don't really know another way to describe it. It's like there were like discourse training wheels when it came to Bryce Young. It's like, oh, well, he's not that anymore, so that must mean he's good, which is, you know, I still think there's more leaps to take between not being like quite literally like one of the worst quarterbacks I've ever seen take an NFL field in my whole life. It was that bad, like Jimmy Clausen level bad when he first got started. Now he's just like fringe startable. I thought last year is how it ended last year. And obviously you want to see another leap. But I just felt like Bryce Young makes sense for me for this list because this is probably going to give everyone a chance to be like more honest about what his play has been, whether it's good or whether it's bad, only because I don't expect him to start as bad as he did last year. And I can understand why, like, if you're a Bryce Young fan, anything that wasn't that probably makes you feel like you're correct about him, but there's still a ways to go. And when you're talking about a guy that you traded up for, and we know what the picks that the Panthers traded for Bryce Young have become, Jalen Carter plus Caleb Williams and a couple other picks, you kind of want this to turn into something that's still a little bit more efficient than it was last year. And I do think there's a chance for this to happen because we did see at the end of last year, one, the offensive line was good, the run game was good, and Dave Canales had some really good games as a play caller. Like the second game against Atlanta, I thought was just a brilliant game from Dave. And now you have potentially a real number one wide receiver on the outside with Tevin McMillan. So there's a chance for him to improve, but I still just want to see him do it because I thought the discourse got a little strange towards the end of last season.
Yeah, I'm feeling much better about Bryce and really just that whole Panthers offense. I just watched a few of the in-season games. I'm pretty bullish on that whole entire offense, like the O-line, the receivers, the run game. Like it's pretty sweet. I even like Tommy Tremble, you know, I'm looking at that receiver room, not just this year, in the future. And you got Coker, Leggett, and McMillan. Like even if Leggett just turns into a horizontal glorified gadget guy, I think a Coker McMillan 1-2, that's a lot of beef. That's a lot of size that can just snag the football. I'm all about it. I tagged you in that play, Matt, because you keep saying Coker can win on the outside. I am telling you guys, yeah. Coker can win on the outside, and he can. The thing with Bryce, and this is what I keep coming back to, and I know trade, size, all speed, and I'm always going to say this stuff. Bryce Young has to be absolutely perfect with every decision to be successful. He gets no leeway and just because of how he has to win. The ball has to get out early. He has to understand where his pressures are. He has to understand when to throw a check down. He has to understand when he turns on the creation button. He can make a guy miss in space and he can get out of the pocket. You just don't want him to live that way just because of physics, you know, especially when you're going against NFL caliber defenders. He doesn't take a lot of big hits, which I will give him credit for. But the thing is, I really like Bryce when I watch him and all the, and we're just talking about this with Kyler, the quarterback stuff, the pre-snap stuff is really good. He's really good with protections. Joe Gilbert, the offensive line coach, I'm sure has helped. But man, and this is what I heard about Bryce Young since college. Bill O'Brien raved about this, that he was the best. This was the line I heard from 7 different scouts, and I was starting to roll my eyes after a while. Bryce Young is the best, has the best handle of offensive football of any quarterback that Bill O'Brien's been around other than Tom Brady. And that was the thing. I was like, oh, that's pretty cool to hear. Can he grow 4 inches? you know, like that was kind of how where I came back to. I was like, well, let's get to that point. But that's how he has to win. I watched him. He did get a lot better. It is getting a lot calmer. I think Canales did a great job working with him and going like, you're good at these throws. Let's do these throws. And he's willing to rip some throws when he's feeling confident in it. We're seeing more confidence. So it's like, I'm with you, Charles, where I'm bullish on it and there was improvement, but I also want to be realistic of what that cap is to it and what it actually is. So I think this is a good one. I think it just has to be a full season of this. Are you a top, locked in top 18, top 20 quarterback? Like, without a doubt, that's the goal for Bryce Young this year. There shouldn't just be any doubt about it whatsoever, because I think just is what's going on in Carolina, especially with the rest of the offense. Matt, what are your thoughts on Bryce Young and just the Panthers ecosystem too?
Yeah, I mean, really high on the ecosystem. I share a lot of the same thoughts that you do. Like, that's deep receiver room if McMillan is who we think he is. I think I mentioned this on a different show, but I wrote up the top 10 yards per route run against man coverage receivers. The Panthers have two guys on that list. It's Coker, and it's also Adam Thielen, who still was playing pretty good football for them last year. So, like, they have four guys I want to see in the mix here between McMillan, Leggett, Thielen, and Coker. And they also, you know, they have Hunter Renfrow in camp. We'll see if he can make the roster. They have some intriguing, like, tight ends there, and the backfield is pretty deep. Like, not only did they sign Rico Dowdle to go alongside with Chuba Hubbard, they also drafted ETN as well. So I think the ecosystem, like, that's why I actually thought about putting him on my list, Bryce Young, because I don't think there's going to be unless McMillan just isn't the guy that we think he is. There is that, like, you know, people could, at the end of the year, like, oh, they got him around one receiver, and like, McMillan's not playing to that level. I think he will play to that level. Because of that, I just don't think there's going to be a lot of excuses for him if he's not a consistent, like you said, top half of the league quarterback throughout the course of the season. And really, unlike the discussion that at least I was thinking about with Kyler and the Cardinals coaching staff, where I don't know that even if Kyler is, I think, above average quarterback, or at least like right around that sort of midline in terms of starters, I don't know that he necessarily is good at what this coaching staff wants to do. I'm very confident that Bryce Young at his best is the type of quarterback that Dave Canales wants running his offense.
Right. He has a great handle of it all. It's just such a hard discussion with me. Like, I really respect his mental IQ and awareness and everything. And it's just like, I think they just got to keep trimming the fat of what it is. But you're right. Canales is really good. He's really good. That Panthers offense is well designed and well called. And the situation stuff's great. And the changeups they throw out there, the third down stuff is really good. And their empty stuff, like when you check out their empty formations, like they do some cool designs. But yeah, I know I'm watched that last month of the Panthers season. I was like, we talked about during the season a bunch, but I'm really starting to get even more bullish on it, because it's like, I see it working. Like, I'm seeing how it's getting built and seeing the success of it. So I think there's going to be more of that this year.
Is he the best over the middle short quarterback? Like in the NFL, Bryce Young? I think he might be. Like, in terms of working over the middle of the field?
Yeah. If we go sub 6'2". Yeah, I think I think he is. Because Kyler's not, Russ isn't, Jalen. Well, Jalen's still we'll got more girth and stuff, but yeah, he's not either. So yeah, that's Caleb doesn't throw over the middle either. I like that one. Good point. He's the best in quick game for short quarterbacks too.
Yeah, he definitely is.
Caleb's good. Caleb's good too. But he's definitely one of the best quick game throwers as well. All right, yeah. Panthers bullishness. All right, I'm gonna go on to my first one. And this is just a team that I feel like has just nagged me throughout my media career. That's the Colts. I just said the Colts. Faces of the Colts franchise. Anthony Richardson, Shane Steichen, Chris Ballard. You know, I can't say, you know, it's Jim Irsay passed. But these guys, I think this big three, you know, the true faces of a team, it's all on them this year. This is all their bets. This is all the bet that they made. This is, you know, Anthony Richardson was a bet on Shane Steichen's development for quarterback development. All right. Well, year three is where we're supposed to see that growth, in which if they just chilled out last year, they probably could have, like, you know, maybe felt a little bit better about it, because that's how long Anthony Richardson was going to take to show some growth. But I just really, this is on him. They signed Daniel Jones, for it to compete with Richardson. Okay, let's see how that unfolds. You know, it's supposed to spark a fire under Richardson. Okay, we'll see. We'll see. Are you guys going to really start Daniel Jones in the year 2025? All right. They draft Riley Leonard, though, so that's pretty fun. Shane Steichen, again, really, I can never get over, like, I love some of the run game stuff, love some of the RPO stuff. I love the philosophy of attacking downfield. He has a lot of North Turner to his offense that I really, really dig. At the very same time, in the same sense, I'll say this, it can look very sloppy. It can look very uncoached, just lack of details that can show up throughout the game. And I'm not even just talking about Jonathan Taylor dropping the ball at the 1 yard line, or Anthony Richardson dropping at least one snap that causes a fumble every single game, just all the operation stuff too. So, and I still respect Steichen, I still respect some of the design stuff, but it's like, all right, you're a three. I know you have a young team, young offense. All right, here, this is where we should feel good about you. I thought we were going to feel good about them last year. And that late bye week, I'm still going to blame, you know, still just did not feel that optimism I felt the first year with Gardner freaking Minshew running the show. So, and then on top of that, Chris Ballard has been there forever, near a decade, and just really it keeps betting on his guys and his ways of doing things. They changed the defensive coordinator as well, you know, to Lou Anarumo. So they're doing a lot of things that it's like, all right, this is your last dance. Like, let's see it. Let's see it work. Let's see you guys get out there and actually do some stuff that you can build off of, as opposed to just ideas and theory and, you know, stuff we're reaching for that gets me excited in April. But then by the time November rolls around, I'm like, what was I thinking? But yeah, faces of the Colts, make or break season, or get off the pot, all three of you guys. that's how I look at the Colts right now. It's like, all right, like, stop doing this to me. Let's actually get some stuff that you guys can build off of, as opposed to just flashes as a franchise. The Colts. That's where I'm at. Any thoughts on the Colts right now? I know, Matt, you're really pulling out your hair trying to figure out who's going to get some touches. But, Charles, what do you think about the Colts right now?
I mean, everything you just said is spot on. I mean, it's just like enough for this team. Just do something already. I don't know.
There's always an idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And after a while, it gets just kind of boring with the like how they like they're just run to a wall. They're not playing up to their potential. And then you see something like the Jets game last year where it all comes together. You're like, ugh, it's interesting. And then they go to Denver and they have two of the dumbest turnovers that you'll see, where Jonathan Taylor drops the ball
for most of the game.
They somehow lost. I think it was like almost a 20-point loss where the other team averaged less than 4 yards per play. You know, like, you really have to be shooting yourself in the foot to make something like that happen. So just no more of it. Like, how, and I maybe things will change now that Jim Mersey has passed on. But like, this Chris Ballard thing, when did he get here? Was like, he was the GM when Andrew Luck here was he the GM that drafted Andrew Luck? No.
That was
great.
Ryan 2017.
Gregson, yes.
Who's the Vikings shadow GM? The Colts, 2017 was his first year as the GM. Yeah, that makes sense.
So yeah, this is almost 10 years of this. Come on now, do something.
I know.
It's my own Colts take.
And even just, I know. And it's like, and again, they have a lot of guys, and people have made jokes about this. I think Shil Kapadia used to make jokes about this, but it's a lot of guys that, like, maybe Robert made fun of me. Someone used to make fun of me about this. It's a lot of guys I like, Nate Tice likes. A lot of, like, these B players that I'm like, oh yeah, I like him, but that's not a good thing. Like, you know, like the blocking receivers and like the quirky tight ends and everything. Like, you know, it's I want the true needle mover aces. Like, even just their receiver room is just a bunch of guys that, like, oh yeah, I like that guy. But it's like, are any of you guys actual aces? Like, true needle movers, or are you just interesting role players that I just like that are quirky or anything like that? So it's the whole team. It's the whole team's full of that. So I want to see something more out of you, the Colts. Really just the AFC South in general. Let's see more out of all of you guys. And let's eat some Wheaties this offseason. All right, we are going to take our last break, and then we'll come back with a few more make or break seasons. Matt, next one, make or break season. What do you got for us?
Yeah, honestly, a lot of what you just said about the Colts, I feel the same way about the Pittsburgh Steelers. And so I'm going to say this is a make or break season for Mike Tomlin. Do I think he's about to get fired this next offseason? Not necessarily, but like, enough of this already. Like, that the same thing that you said about the Colts, I feel the exact same way about the Steelers. And honestly, I felt the exact same way. I was looking this up in prep for the show. I wrote like a postmortem on the wild card for every round of the playoffs, but back in the wild card, because that's when they always lose if they make the playoffs. So I wrote the Steelers up, and you know, basically, like, I feel the exact same way as I felt then now. And it's just like lackluster, double digit, one and done playoff losses. Like, that's the standard in Pittsburgh at this point. If they can squeak into the playoffs, you know, on the back of like a team that nobody really believes in. And I'm not saying this is like all Tomlin's fault. In fact, I think we would all agree that he certainly coaches around some of the holes on this roster, but I think he doesn't get enough flack for the holes on the roster. Like, the guy has a lot of power within the building. He has been there forever, and I'm just at this point like unconvinced that I'm not even just unconvinced that the roster looks like a team that is not going to change the trajectory. I think this team could look worse. And look, we end up saying that, you know, every few seasons, and then it doesn't happen. Like, they just have the same old season. They make the playoffs as the final AFC team, and then they get smoked in the first round by a real contender. But I don't love the way this roster looks on paper. And especially when you look at the defense, like, four of their most important players are probably Cam Hayward, Darius Slay, who was their only real consequential addition on that side of the ball, TJ Watt, and Minkah Fitzpatrick. 36-year-old Cam Hayward in his 15th season. Darius Slay is 34. He's in his 13th season. TJ Watt is 30. He's in his 9th season. And Minkah Fitzpatrick is 28, and he's in his 8th season. Like, these guys are all not necessarily, like, again, they're coming off good years, or at least Hayward's coming off a great year, but you just never know with guys at this point in their career. And like, there were rumblings that people weren't totally happy with Minkah Fitzpatrick, or maybe some of the freelancing. TJ Watt went quiet towards the end of last year. Again, a 34-year-old starting corner across from the only good corner that you've had for the last few years in Joey Porter Jr. That's a little bit of a tenuous thing. So I just see a lot of ways where this could go wrong for Pittsburgh this year. And at some point, especially if this is, you know, they're Mason Rudolph and Kirk Cousins and whatever's left of Aaron Rodgers, I just see a lot of ways that this could go wrong. And I think at some point, if this is a six-win team or something like that, and which, by the way, I think this roster could be a six-win team that does not look that good, then at some point we've got to like ask questions about the whole operation here, and just enough of kind of chasing our tail on the same old thing over and over again.
Oh man, when they're 7-2 before they finish 10-7, you're gonna be eating crow, buddy.
Yeah, great. I mean, what do you do? It's the same thing
every year.
I cannot believe that this team employed Matt Canada as long as it did. Like, that's, I'm not saying that's disqualifying for Mike Tomlin's entire coaching career, but just like, I'm not saying that Kenny Pickett was gonna be a good quarterback. But we'll really never know, because that's how he started his career. Like, we'll really know. I mean, we kind of know, but we'll really never know for sure.
He's had some interesting names at offensive coordinator over the years. Like, he really has. I'm just trying to think who was the guy that became Todd Haley was one of his coordinators for a while.
Shoot, bring those years back at this point.
Right. Yeah, right. Those look like the glory years.
I was there at Pitt, and Pitt and the Steelers share the same building. It's like a duplex, you know, like, and they share the same four practice fields. So you would have to walk by the Steelers practices to get to the Pitt practices. And Tomlin was also our best recruiter, because he'd like talk crap to like recruits. It'd be awesome. And we'd be walking through. And I remember they're like, hey, you guys can watch minicamp, you know, like OTAs and stuff. I was like, oh, sweet. You know, the stuff that, you know, Rogers should be at right now. And I'd sit there and I'd listen to the quarterbacks, and they, you know, they just be going over their no huddle stuff, like Big Ben wanted. That's when Big Ben was getting all the control of the offense. And like Charlie Batch was on the roster as well. And they're going over what their heart count is, you know, like fake count. And a lot of teams over the years will use like a freeze, you know, like freeze or water, like hold your water or something like that. All of their Todd Haley and Big Ben, like fake cadence terms, were off of alcohol. like brewski. Cores, like all this stuff. And I'm like, at the time, I didn't think anything of it. It's just football, whatever. And as I've gotten older, I'm like, yeah, it made a lot more sense. Like, they'd be like, brewski, yeah. You know, like all that stuff, like blue mountains, everything, Corona, every single one was off of beer. That was to say, hey, chill out, have a beer, you know. But I just thought that was pretty funny. Like, that was how they went with their parlance. It's like, ah, got it. Got it, you guys. But no, the Steelers. Omar Khan's been there since 2001. Tomlin's been there since what, 2005, 2006? Man, 07. I actually tell you that off the top of my head. Because Brad Childress replaced my dad in 06 and then hired Tomlin as DC, and they hired him off of that. So 07. So they don't change. You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing with the Steelers. It's like something has to change, but they are so Rooney, and this is what they do. And that's what it's so – I'm with you with the frustration. It's like I respect the hell out of them and how they kind of just do their thing. But also it's just like, well, sometimes you need a little bit of – you need a little spice thrown in there. That's not Matt Canada spice, you know, actual like real spice, that innovative and actually not a volatile
Arthur
personality.
Smith spice. I mean, I think Smith is a solid offensive mind. Like, I've actually defended him at times when he was in Atlanta, but like, that's probably not the answer to all of this. Yeah. The theme of my list is that, well, at least the last two I've named, is just, you can't just keep slamming your head against the wall and doing the same things. And I'm really just not, I'm not interested in giving teams credit for like, oh wow, you managed to pick yourself up out of a disaster that you created. Like, that's kind of where I'm at with this team.
It can be worse.
You're just over, the definition of insanity. Yes. All right.
Charles. It could definitely be.
I would kill for a nine and eight, one and done season at this point. Like, man, I see. I made it.
Well, you might get
2017.
You might get it.
This is not the year.
You get everybody on the competition committee in the Falcons building. You get Mike Tomlin, Rich McKay. The entire competition committee isn't going to be in that building over time.
Yeah, it's really good when the NFL competition committee guy also oversees the Falcons, or excuse me, oversees the soccer team in Atlanta too. You know, that's really normal.
And the stadium that was overrun like by $1 billion and all that stuff. How's the Bears stadium going, by the way? Any updates on that? Seems like they're going through a whole lot. Kevin Warren, though.
Kevin Warren, he's stuck with his nose in his sphincter somewhere.
No, he gets the kickbacks from the Big Ten still. You know, this is a June show. This is how we're talking. He's getting some kickbacks from the Big Ten still. He's still getting paid off of there. I'm going to go with one of my next ones, make or break seasons. And this should not surprise anybody. Yeah, I just kind of the same thing with you, Matt, and the last one I just did. Kind of like, all right, faces the franchise. What the hell you're doing? It's the Giants, Dable, Shane, Joe Shane. You know, same thing, make or break season. I don't think I really have to spell this one out. You know, let's see something out of that quarterback that you guys drafted that I think is also a way to buy you guys time. Let's see something. Let's see some growth. Let's announce who's calling plays with the same offensive coordinator that you had. I mean, it's the same two guys, same head coach, same offensive coordinator, 4 years now. And they still just are just like trying to play games with who's calling plays. I know that seems like a minor thing, but it's a canary in the coal mine, I think, for what is going on with this operation, where it's just a lot of making stuff up, but acting like we're really smart when we do it. But it's not only just actually these guys on the Giants, there's a couple defenders on the Giants that have a make or break season. Kayvon Thibodeau has a huge season. They drafted Abdul Carter for a reason. They traded for Brian Burns for a reason after we drafted you in the top 10. All right, let's see a little bit more out of you, especially this year. Deontay Banks, who I really liked as a rookie, and I thought had one of the most disappointing seasons in the NFL, and I mean this, by any player in the entire NFL last year was Deontay Banks. So it's not just these guys. They are the most important guys. There's a lot of players on this team, but I think that's indicative of the Giants. It's just so many question marks. There's stuff I like. You know, I really do like what this defense is going to be this year. I like some of their skill guys on offense, but it's just so much of plugging one hole and three more holes open up, or plugging a hole, but it's out of cheap cardboard, you know, and not actually something that's well structured. It's just an idea or a flavor of the month or flavor of the week, as opposed to something that they stand strong on. Just seems like they really are swaying with the wind, with whatever gets them points with the media. like that's just what it feels like to me on the outside. So yeah, Giants, make or break. I don't think this is really a revolutionary thought. Anyone's been paying attention to what's going on over there, but I just got to emphasize that it's such a big year for them. And we got to see something, because they're saying, yeah, let's draft quarterback. We got to see this development. Well, let's see the development. Let's see what you got, because you're talking about how good of a developer you are. All right, like, do it again. Anybody can develop Josh Allen once. If you're going to keep saying that you can develop Josh Allen, that's why you're the big reason for it. All right, let's do it with anybody. Apparently you could do that. So yeah, if you can't tell, the Giants kind of frustrate me a little bit, but you guys, any thoughts on the Giants, where their situation is right now?
How is this where you're at 4 years in to the Giants run? like
rebuilding.
Like you brought up some, I think you brought up good points. Like their defense, they got some guys. You know, you got Malik Nabers, but like, yo, this is what it looks like 4 years in. We got a couple guys on defense, and like, and you know, maybe a wide receiver one. Okay, how is this all you've built? I really just can't believe that they all got brought back for another season. Like, if I were gonna do a make or break for the Giants, it's for John Mara to just act like, have one season reacting like Jerry Jones, just one season where you're just out here telling people what to do. And
Steinbrenner,
like
Steinbrenner. That's who should be
like your grandpa, John. Be like your grandpa. Yeah. Your grandpa was out here bootlegging and working with the mob, and you're too afraid to tell your GM that you want Saquon Barkley back on your team. Stand up for yourself and fire these guys. Because what are you really gonna get? What are you gonna get out of this season? Oh, we go 3-14, yeah. And then next team they don't want Jackson Dart. It's good division. Yeah.
That's another thing.
The division's good now. It's good now. So what? I don't understand what this is.
Yep.
Yeah.
I know. It's what you just said there. Like, what are they building? Like, even their building blocks of this team. We all agree. Andrew Thomas is one of the best tackles in the league. Always hurt. He was drafted in 2020. That was before this regime took over. Dexter Lawrence, one of the best defenders in the NFL. Drafted in 2019. Brian Burns, traded for him. You know, like, who have they drafted there? Okay, Nabers, of course, looks like a star, but top 10 pick.
Yeah, but anybody could have drafted Malik Nabers. Right. Like, he went right. He went right when he was supposed to.
That.
Yeah, I'm with you though. Like, they're sort of this talking point of, well, yeah, but their drafts have been good. Like, have they? I mean, yeah. Again, they took Malik Nabers and
could be decent, but.
Like, yeah, Theo Johnson looks like he could be a useful tight end. Tyron Tracy had like a nice moment as a running back last year, but they took another running back this year, and they still have Singletary on the roster. It's not even like he's just going to moonwalk into a starting job. Banks has been up and down. Like you mentioned, they just lit a third round pick on fire with Jalen Hyatt. Like Evan Neal's an unplayable guy from their first draft. So I think there's been just as many like big misses as there's been like, yeah, congratulations, you took Malik Nabers. Anybody could have done that,
right? And then usually a good regime, and I get it, it's a coin flip at best, 40-60 on day two to even get a tangible player there, but like usually these good regimes have like, oh, this third rounder hit for us, Chris Godwin hit for us, you know, like just a fourth rounder is a good starter, not saying superstar, oh my god, gonna be a future Hall of Famer, but just a good solid starter. And it just seemed to me, it's like, yeah, they invested in some guys. They did hit on some defensive guys last year. I like Drew Phillips. I like Tyler Newbin. But again, it's like, okay, but who are your needle movers? Like, what? All your guys are acquired in some other shape, or there was the previous regime outside of the guys, like you said, just Malik Nabers and stuff. But yeah, just, and then also just like the whole games they play with. I if you can't tell, the like, oh, who's calling plays really annoys me, because it's like, what are you guys, 12? Like, just like, what are you doing? Like, it's just so stupid to me. Like, Mike Kafka is supposed to be really well thought of. And it's like, I don't know. He's just, it feels like him and Dable are like, I don't know. He's getting toyed with. I just as me reading the situation and everything. So, yeah. Let's see something out of you, New York football Giants. Matt, let's move on. Actually, no, Charles, let's go to your next one. What was your next make or break season?
I went with Chargers offensive coordinator Greg Roman. But Greg Roman is just, how many times do you have to do this where you get handed the keys to a Lamborghini quarterback, like traits wise, you know, Kaepernick, obviously not as good as Lamar Jackson or Justin Herbert, but traits wise, like he was up there. And then we just run out of ideas so fast, or, you know, it's not good enough. We're too run heavy. And after a while, I need the Harbaugh apparatus to let go of this guy, because you guys are good at this. And we saw pretty clearly once Greg Roman left Baltimore, oh, wait, there's more that we can unlock here instead of just, you know, smashing our head into a wall every, you know, first and second down and begging our quarterback to save us on third. And I just think it's been so long since his ideas have become like a revolutionary way of thinking. You know, back in 2012 when, you know, all you needed to run was a read option to just scare defenses into giving up 300 yards on the ground, it was great. But they've caught up now. And I don't think that Greg has. I think the strategy they showed last year shows that he hasn't really caught up either. So, like, you know, I understand, like, there's a difference between having an identity and being stubborn about something. And I think he's fallen into stubbornness. Like when you have the offensive line they did last year, I don't really see how it's conducive to just smash your head into a wall as many times as they did. And I don't really see why it'll be different this year. It should be better this year now that they have Omarion Hampton as their lead running back. But still, as a whole, I don't think that they have the personnel to run the offense that they would ideally love to run. And I know they don't have like the versatility thinking wise to change off of that. So I just need Greg Roman to either figure it out, or they just got to move on to offensive coordinator, because the quarterback's good enough, the running back's good enough. Maybe you have a little more pieces at wide receiver, but as long as you have this style of thinking, I think you're gonna have a hard ceiling always.
I like what you said too. It's like the defense is caught up to what their kind of like easy buttons were. Like every offense is an easy button, whether it's zone read, RPOs, play action, bootlegs. Like everybody has some. And it was just, I mean, you've made the joke 100 times, Charles, but it's just like, it first and second down, let's run our head into the wall. All right, 3rd and 8. Go get him, Justin. All right, Lamar, good job, everybody. good job, everyone. All right, there we go. Hey, Greg Roman, get a raise. But it's, I'm with you. I think his offense stuff is very frustrating. They run Sale more than anybody else ever, which is a go ball, a corner, and a flat route. 500 ways to run Sale. Like, it's unbelievable. I was trying to think some joke about building boats or something like that, but they are building it. I actually had this kind of, we send these to the producers beforehand, like what we might talk about. And I actually, the Chargers, my angle on it was the Chargers offensive line, .. Chargers offense. Same type of things, just ideas. Zion Johnson's got to step up and be more consistent. The interior offensive line's got to be something. But this coaching staff can really help them out if they just stopped acting like they were 2010 Stanford, you know, with future NFL pros on the offensive line, 3 NFL tight ends, a quarterback that can operate all, well, they do have a quarterback that can operate all of it, but a run game that we can just get 7 yards a pop without even thinking, without even breaking a sweat on it, you know? And so that's the thing, is like when you have that, that's the easy button. Hey, we got a great offensive line. Run it all over them. Just stomp them for 4 or 5 yards. Get those cheap yards. Take it off a quarterback. Yeah, they get some defenses and there's some good design stuff, but there's just such a lack of creativity as a play caller, not a play designer, play caller too. Just like, well, it's 2nd and long. We got to do this. Well, it's 3rd down. We got to run a screen because we haven't run a screen. It just never feels like they're just like, he's the aggressor. It feels like Greg Roman's very reactionary. Makes sense. He has an offensive line background as an offensive line coach. That actually kind of makes some sense. But he's a guy that I like on my staff. I just don't want him calling plays. I've realized that with Greg Roman. I don't think he is the worst coach in the world. I just think he is unimaginative, not very as a play caller. I just really just think he's very passe and blah and bland. And it works when you have dudes and horses up front. But I don't see the 1990s Cowboys offensive line walking through that door, you know, so I'm right there with you.
Even with Baltimore, you had Ronnie Stanley pre-injuries, Marshall Yanda, and the best version of Orlando Brown that we've seen. Like those three guys could maul you, and obviously Lamar Jackson behind it. You know, anyone can make a running, anyone can make a running game with that. I just think they gotta figure out way to be a little bit more creative, because I last year it just wasn't enough. And even if the personnel's better, I just don't trust the ecosystem, from the top down.
I don't either. And because Harbaugh's, he gives trust to the coaches to call the plays and stuff, but he's also of the same philosophy. You know, so it's not like he's coming into meetings and going like, we gotta get in the gun and do this, or you know, we gotta spread it. It's like, no, he's going like, all right, add another tight end. Add a converted defensive lineman to on the field. Like that's bigger, right? You know, throw more weed at it and that'll fix it. So yeah, it's just, where are the ideas? Where's the injection coming from? I'm right there with you on this one, Charles. Matt, your last make or break season as we start wrapping up the show. What do you got for us?
Real simple one for me, because I didn't put Bryce Young on here. I was like, actually, this quarterback makes a lot more sense for this, and it's Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville. Again, very similar sort of, like, I think unless Liam Cohen just isn't the guy we think he is, and, you know, Travis Hunter isn't the wide receiver that we think he is, hey, we're going to get to a point where at the end of the year, like, what's the excuse, you know, this time if he doesn't play at a consistent above average level? And because it's just, look, on paper, this looks like a really, really good offense. Brian Thomas Jr. going into his second year, Travis Hunter being able to, you know, be used across the formation in fascinating ways, interesting ways, injecting some real pop into this offense that just wasn't present over the large portion of Trevor Lawrence's first few seasons. And like, by the way, when I say excuses, like, excuses can be reasons. Like, I think there were real legitimate reasons why he didn't, you know, reach that consistent level, some of which are his, but a vast majority of them, in my opinion, are the run game was terrible. The play calling was, you know, very up and down. The deployment of players, like, this, even just the seemingly the relationship between him and both of his head coaches, also very weird. So I think Cohen's going to come in here and clean a lot of that stuff up. Certainly the relationship, definitely the run game, I think will look very different and much more imaginative than it has in past seasons. So like, yeah, if Trevor Lawrence, we get to the end of this year and we're still kind of asking questions about is he in a consistently above average quarterback, and like we all agree on that, I think it will be sort of like a make or break moment for him, where then some real regret about that contract begins to set in, and they start to think like, all right, what are we doing? What are we doing here in the next 2 years? Is this really the guy we're rocking with?
They have so much more team speed. That's gonna, I know that, you know, Evan Engram could roll and Christian Kirk has some speed too, but that offense started always feeling tight and static and just horizontal. Which had the first year of Doug Peterson, when when his golf game was probably his worst, I thought it was really imaginative with a lot of the horizontal stuff they were doing with Evan Engram and everything. You can tell it's June, guys. I'm just throwing out every jab and punch I can throw before I go away. But I do think the speed and everything that they've added, like even just adding Tootin in the backfield, like it's an improvement just by having eyes. You know, like there's so much, the offensive designs in the run game were so unsound last year. Some of it they got away with because it was well-timed, or maybe they threw an RPO on to add to it. But there's so many times that they were running into a loaded box where it was dead on arrival, or they had a guy going the wrong way. So just competency in the run game, it doesn't have to be a top 10 run game, it doesn't have to be top five. But it just, I think, just because of how the Bucs were run, And Liam Cohen's background, even though he's a passing game guy, it just because he's a McVay guy as well, and they know to, you know, help out with the run game, that I think it's just gonna be fine, which is a huge improvement. That the crap to not crap tier, that's where I think the run game's going. Just because I just think they'll be able to get those easy yards. They're just the 4 or 5 yard gains. It doesn't all have to be home runs. But yeah, I wish they had one more offensive lineman, and I'd feel so much better. That's it. Just one more dude, and I'd be feeling good. It's just that I feel like they're one guy short up there just to be tangible. But I'm with you. I've always been a Trevor advocate, and a guy, and we'll see that on the top 10 quarterback show. Hint, hint, spoilers.
People weren't listening to that before. They're listening to it now.
that was the first ranking show we did a few weeks ago, and now I've looked back and I'm like, man, I should put a little bit more thought on that. But anyways,
I already regret at least one thing.
There's so much I regret with those shows. We'll see.
I don't stand by any of that.
the other minor thing, this is very, I'm with you on this one, Matt. I'm with you. I've always been someone that's like, no, Trevor's this, but sometimes you just got to overcome those excuses and be a dude. And I thought Trevor has done that at times in the past, but it's like, all right, but you can't have those picks in the red zone.
Consistently.
The dude, he just sometimes has those brain dead plays. And you can see afterwards, he like looks at his hands like, I don't know what I just did there. Like he blacks out in a bad way. Mm-hmm. So I do like some of the minor additions they've made. They actually just signed Dennis Gardeck on defense, who I'm a fan of from the Cardinals defense. But on offense, Brent Strange, it looks like a good player. Maybe I was a little low on him, more studying him. I really do think he's a good tight end. Might be a fantasy wise little sneaky one I'm looking at. But signing other guys, Hunter Long, Johnny Munt, Quentin Morris, beef at tight end. It shows to me that they know what they want to be, or at least help out with this whole offense. They didn't sign another receiving only tight end. And I kind of like little indicators like that of what they think they need. Just would have liked one more lineman. But yeah, I thought that was a good one. I'm going to go with my last make or break one before we wrap the show up. I liked a lot of the ones you guys have. Jordan Davis was another one I almost threw in here. But I'm going to go with a team that I just have a big question mark overall because I want to know what they are. And I don't even know if – I want to know how competitive they think they are this season. That's Mike McDaniel and the Dolphins. Just what are you guys? Like, and I just keep asking this every time we talk about the Dolphins because they have stuff I like and they have so much I don't like. And I thought the offense hit a rut last year. Yes, they had injuries and Tua got hurt, all that. But I thought I was really uninspired. I had the Dolphins as a top 10 offense going into the season because I'm like, they're going to show something to me. They're going to do something that's going to get me going like, oh, I didn't even think about that. And it just felt like it was more of the same. And it felt like almost like a white flag kind of season a little bit on offense. And I just want to maybe see some spark again. But I don't know what they think of themselves. So, like, are they going to be inspired to have that spark? Or are they just kind of going, yeah, we're just getting through this year and hopefully we're healthy. So just want to see a little bit of that with McDaniel, just this offense. I want to see that next step when they get slapped in the face, they get punched in the face. Like, all right, can we be tough? Can we win in short yardage? They've been terrible in short yardage since McDaniel has gone there. It's part of the design of the offense and the philosophy. But can we just make that weakness into averageness? Can we not have a drop-off if the weather goes cold? Just answer some of these questions. It doesn't have to be the gray show on turf offense again. It just no drop-offs that always seem to happen with this Dolphins team in some part of the season. And yeah, but Mike McDaniel, I think in just the whole offense, the whole team, kind of make or break. Like, what are you guys right now? But yeah, Dolphins, big curiosity. Charles, what do you feel about the Dolphins right now?
They're not good enough, obviously, to dethrone Buffalo, but I still think 2-4 in the AFC East is wide open right now when you look at where each of those other three teams are. Because there is, like, if they can block it up, and that's such a huge if, like, there is room for the Dolphins to have a good season on offense. The defense will probably be tough this year just because their DB room is so depleted right now. Especially after, you know, whenever this Jalen Ramsey to whoever gets pushed through. But there's also just so much, you know, you have the uncertainty of the unknown, I guess, with the Dolphins because they have so many spots on their roster that are question marks right now. And we know that even like the best version we've seen of them, the one that can score 70 points, we know that that can get snuffed out in a hurry too, depending on how the rest of the season goes. So, I would guess that they're not good enough to like make a playoff run, but maybe they're good enough to finish second in the AFC East, which is probably not a super high bar this year.
They currently right now on BetMGM have this 8.5 wins as their win total. The other teams that are at 8.5, God, it's like the football 301 teams: Arizona Cardinals, Chicago Bears, Dolphins, Vikings, Patriots, Steelers, Seahawks. Would you put them at the bottom of that? Like, they have the same win total as the Patriots. And I know the Patriots will improve, right? Play a weak schedule. You feel about right? Yeah, I know. And that's feels weird to say that, right?
Yeah. Like, the thing is, they all, like the Patriots, Dolphins, and Jets have to play each other. And it's like, right. All of you guys could lose other, or win against each other at any time.
Would you, right now, or maybe this is the question I want to say, Dolphins or Steelers to win more games? Matt?
Oh, God. Steelers.
I would go Dolphins just because the division's easier. But, you know, even the Steelers, well, they're good for beating the Bengals, you know?
Or the Ravens. I think the Steelers have a pretty condensed range where... Yeah. You know, they're going to
high floor. We know what they're going to do. Places the floor.
it's going to be somewhere between 10 and 7. That's it. Whereas the Dolphins, I think I could see them getting to 10, and in the right situation, maybe 11 wins. But I also think the floor is a lot lower than Pittsburgh. And
right.
I feel like I'm trending more towards the floor outcome for them than the latter. And they're behaving like a team that feels like they're heading for a reset. But like, are these guys going to be the ones that are doing the resetting? I don't really know. They just feel like a very bizarre team right now.
That's really, and maybe when I say make or break, it's like, it's more of like a question mark. I don't know why I said that like that. Yeah. It's more like a question mark where I'm just like, Is this make or break for you guys? Or are you guys on a different timeline than we think you guys are at? Like, is this actually, is the owner going to go like, yep. Serena Williams, I think, is a co-owner, a minority owner as well. Are they going to go like, yep, like, you know, get them off or anything like that? But I don't know. I just don't know what heat they're under. Like, is this just us thinking this and maybe they just have a different timeline? I just never know with the Dolphins. So I had to throw that out there. But yeah, I'm curious what you guys think. Throw it in the comments on YouTube. Who's going to win more games, Dolphins or Steelers? There we go. Get some fan interaction here. But we're closing it out today. I'm closing it out before I hit paternity leave. I can't even say that because I think it's so weird. But we'll be back next Wednesday starting our ranking series, top 10 positions and some other things that we threw out there. We got coaches in there. Like I said, some media items that I did with Mina Kimes and a whole bunch of other stuff. It was a very fun month of shows coming out there. And like I said before, Charles and Matt will hold the fort down for any news that breaks over the next 2 months until training camp. I'm Nate Tice. You can find me at Nate_Tice. That is Charles McDonald. You can find him at 4verts. And that is Matt Harmon. You can find him at Matt_BYB or Matt Harmon. Also, send those mailbag questions. These guys might want to read them. These guys might want to see them over the next couple of months. Answer some of your questions. Send them on into football301mailbag@yahoosports.com or leave us that 5-star review on Apple Podcasts with the question and we will get to it. Subscribe to us, follow us, rate us, like I said, 5 stars, or watch us on YouTube and watch us on YouTube on the Yahoo Sports YouTube channel. Thanks to everyone behind the scenes. Thank you all for listening. See you guys next time.